Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 348. It's a Bloom Board Tuesday. We got some pitching ratio risers and fallers, and oh boy, is this quite the list we will discuss. We got some recent news and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Happy birthday, Ryan.
Oh, come on. I knew we were going to do that.
How are we doing?
I knew you weren't going to let that one slide by. We are doing good. We are 41 going on, I don't know, 70.
Which appendage is pulled? What's pulled today, Ryan? You got your hip, your oblique.
Yeah, back hurt a little bit more than normal this morning. But no, man, doing good. Good birthday today. Actually, I mean, whatever. It's a Tuesday, so it was work. I went to my oldest. He's in first grade. We do you can sign up for volunteer stuff and read books to the class. So I went to my first grader's class and read a couple books to his class, and they sang happy birthday to me. That was actually pretty cool. That was a little bit of a birthday gift to myself. So outside of that, some fun tonight, couple noons and other things, but ready to cap it all off with you tonight, my friend.
What a way to spend a birthday. But no, that's cool. The first grade thing. I enjoy doing the school stuff. So
they were excited. Yeah.
They grew up so fast. Like, people tell us that, Ryan, but you know, we're living it. It's going by way too freaking fast. So
it was kind of cool. I read a book about this will tie to the show, about baseball, because my oldest is obsessed with baseball, t-ball, whatever. So awesome. I read a book called The Littlest Leaguer, and there's a kid in the class with an Astros hat on, and he keeps saying Jose Altuve. It's about this little kid leaguer. Who like turns out That's to be so good funny. Or whatever. And yeah, it was pretty cool. There was an Astros fan, and there was a kid with a Cubs hat on. So it was fun to do. We read that one, and we read a Mario book.
Beautiful. That's a nice little Tuesday at first grade. I'm recovering still from about 4 days at the fair. So
yeah,
that's been a lot. You know how my Saturday went, but it was 4 days of just chasing a little one around, the rides and everything else, and auctions, and there's a concert, and then my daughter did a peewee showmanship of a goat on Sunday, which was actually really cool. Like, I was shocked, and it was fun to watch. So long weekend, but it was a lot of fun to kind of like just watching the little ones do their thing. So it's pretty cool. And a whole lot different than I used to go to the fair for 4 nights, where I used to close down the bar at the fair and everything else. I was home before the sun went down most nights. So
yeah, you also started a little earlier than planned a couple of days, but that'll
happen.
Yeah. It's funny. I went to Seattle with my dad and my two kids. We went to a Mariners game Saturday, but you probably still had a busier weekend than I did. I still went up to Seattle and back. So whatever.
Yeah. Yours is just a little more coherent than mine, is where we'll go with that one. So your body didn't have to recover from certain functions. But yeah, it was good. We're back. It's Tuesday. It's Bloom Board time. Let's get into some recent news, because it's been carnage all around baseball. I feel like I say that every single week, Ryan, but it's like we wake up and there's something, and throughout the day it's just more and more fun. So we'll get people caught up on the last 2 days of the major news. Again, shameless plug, if you need to, all the news around baseball, keep you up to date almost every day on the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon. So come check that out. It's nothing fancy. It's just little blurbs to keep you up to date on what's going on, and the rest of it's in the Discord. So go check that out on the Patreon. First nugget to drop: Drake Baldwin is on the IL with an oblique injury. Found out it's a grade one oblique injury, which is a positive out of all of this. If you want to take a positive, it's usually a 2 to 4 week situation with catchers. Sometimes it goes more towards the 4 week, because they have to do a few more things behind the plate, but not always. They called up Chadwick Trump. They're missing Sean Murphy for a couple months. They let go of Jonah Heim when Sean Murphy came back. The catching situation is an utter disaster on the Braves right now, but Drake Baldwin's out 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm still kind of catching up on some of it. Did not realize, full admit, did not realize Chadwick Trump was still around, and B, on an active roster. He's former Giants legend, right?
Former Giants legend. Yeah, he was having his heyday back. I'll stop there. I was going to make a bad joke, but yes. Yeah. There was a lot of – when he was making his heyday, you had to be very careful how you pronounced his last name. Let's put it that way.
So Sandy Leon, the vaunted duo of Sandy Leon and Chadwick Tromp. It's going to be a very rough week for Fab. We've got a couple other catcher injuries to talk about. And in terms of replacements, this is not one you want to go to. Like, I wonder, is Heim on a team? Like, do they want to bring Heim back in?
This is why I love Ryan, folks. Jonah Heim's actually in the hole in Anaheim right now, hitting for the A's. He had a double in his last at bat. So, sure. Yeah, he's the backup catcher.
The game we're watching now.
Great. Yeah, I was pointing to the screen. Geloff's up to bat. I think he's batting seventh tonight. So he's in the hole in that one.
He is.
He's the backup to Bengaliers in Sacramento. So, yes.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Are you adding 37-year-old Sandy Leon or 31-year-old Chadwick Tromp?
No, I don't think so. I'll be looking other places. We'll talk about one here in a second. But like our good buddy Scott Slezak, second place in the main event last year, he was mentioning in the Discord today that if it's a 2 to 4 week thing, it might be worth taking the zero over some of the options on the waiver wire.
I guess we'll dive into a little bit more on Thursday, but that is always an option. Just and because even if there is a good catcher or a couple good catchers that you want on Fab, you're going to be competing with a couple other teams that need to fill holes, unless you're extremely unfortunate and you have both Baldwin and we'll talk about Ryan Jeffers next. So there will be competition for any living body behind the dish. And yeah, given that it's relatively good news with Drake Baldwin in the 2 to 4 weeks, it may not be the worst thing to just say, I'm going to save my Fab and take a zero.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation for sure. Speaking of Ryan Jeffers, and I kind of was wondering if this was going to happen because I was writing it up on Monday night for the news. Ryan Jeffers left Monday's game. He swung and fouled the ball off, shook his hand, took two more pitches in the at-bat, and then took himself out of the at-bat. And I'm sitting there going, okay, this sounds like a hamate 101. But we didn't have any information until Tuesday morning. Ryan Jeffers has a fractured hamate bone, is going to undergo surgery. He's supposed to fly to L.A. Right before the show, the beat reporter from Minnesota says his flight was delayed, so he's still stuck in Minnesota right now. So he'll get in maybe tonight or tomorrow morning. Going to have surgery. Early reports, 6 to 8 weeks. Jeffers, of course, is thinking more 4 to 6. Who knows? It's going to be a while. We've seen all over the board how these hamate things have gone, and some are producing, some aren't. Who knows? Jeffers having a great season. Great season. He was a cheap catcher, too. Like, I had him for $4 in an auction. It sucks, but he's been amazing this season. Victor Caratini is going to get a lot of the load here. And that, like we said, like Atlanta doesn't have options. If we're talking Caratini, we'll talk a lot more, like we said, on Thursday night, but Caratini's 13% in OCs. Caratini's a guy I could roll with as a backup. It's just the big question, which we'll have more answers on Thursday for with more news, is what do you do with Jeffers? Like, he's been so good, and catching is so bad, but it's hard to hold three catchers. But Jeffers out potentially 2 months, Ryan.
And Jeffers, woe is me, of course, as a writer, but I just wrote up Jeffers in my speculator column, like the day that he got hurt. The combination of K rate and hard contact for Ryan Jeffers, like, I think he could have been a top five catcher overall this season. He was that good. The problem with Jeffers, of course, is always, can he make it through a full season? And hours after writing that blurb, we found that answer. So yeah, I don't know if it's upwards of 8 weeks, that's just tough to hold a third catcher. Caratini is a nice alternative. Not hitting well this year. He's hitting 192 with one home run in 127 plate appearances. So that's not great, but running a super low BABIP, someone who's historically been, hitting in the 260, 270 ish range with double digit homer pace the past few seasons. And that works as a second catcher. The problem with Caratini lately, he had been losing playing time, but that will no longer be the case. So Caratini's a decent ad, but again, you're going to have some competition for him if other teams in your league have Baldwin or were stashing Kyle Teeler, we'll talk about, et cetera. So I'm interested in Caratini. I wouldn't go overboard, though.
Yes, I wouldn't either, but at least he's a pulse I would go for compared to the Braves options that we
discuss. He is an upgrade over Chadwick.
Chadwick, yes, the Trompinator. All right, Corey Seager Here we go. GIF lands on the IL with lower back inflammation. He flew back to Texas to get some further testing and imaging with some team doctors. He did that on Sunday. He got put on the IL on Monday, and I still have not heard any results of said tests right now. So I don't have a timetable for you for Corey Seager, but it's a back injury. Those can always be a pain in the butt, of course, and we'll have to see how that plays out. But for now, Ezekiel Duran is playing shortstop, and he's balling out, had two great games in Coors. And Justin Foscue is playing second base, and Justin Foscue has had two really good games in Coors as well. So those are your options. We'll be able to talk about them on Thursday as well. But Corey Seager, back to the IL, Ryan.
I mean, it's part of the problem with Seager is that, so yeah, like that's what you sign up for when you take him. You assume a couple IL stints with whatever, but you also assume like while Seager is active and healthy and playing that you would get Kyle Seager-esque production. But you only got a, 179 batting average.
With
20 RBI. For Kyle Seager or Corey Seager, jeez,
Corey Seager,
Kyle Seager might be better.
Not the Mariners legend, the other one
could be better than Corey. Still, who knows?
Right now, yeah.
But yeah, Foscue, we'll talk about Thursday. But that's kind of your guy. You've been writing about him for a while at HQ with playing time tomorrow.
Yep, I've had my eye on him. I've been waiting for a spot to open, and he's getting his chance. And yeah, I think every time he had a chance last year, it seemed like he was hurt, so he never really got an opportunity. So we'll see how this one pans out, as the Rangers don't have a whole lot of options these days.
Though Josh Smith is, I guess, still hospitalized, but could be back somewhat soon. I don't know.
He's on the IL for multiple things is the problem. He just got hospitalized with a new injury. He was already on the IL with something else.
I thought he was IL.
He got put in the hospital for meningitis, viral meningitis, while he was on the IL with another injury. He's hospitalized with viral meningitis. He's back home now, so that's good. He's on the couch. That's the latest news there. But he's already on the IL with other injuries. It's a rough
ixnay on the Josh Smith nay.
Yeah, we'll see how that one comes to fruition in the future. Lance McCullers, similar to Corey Seager, here we go again. Lance McCullers got scratched from his start on Tuesday. Placed on the IL with right shoulder inflammation, hopped on a plane to head back to Houston to go get more imaging done on his injury. So that doesn't leave me feeling great if he has to rush to go get the imaging, which I guess you need to have, but just not great overall. This is already a disaster of a rotation because Burrows is struggling, Emi is struggling. Jason Alexander got the spot start on Tuesday through six shutout innings. So here we go again where I get to tout him up. You tell me he sucks and he's going to be serviceable like he was last year. Because he really shouldn't be. I fully agree with all the stuff you said, but I rolled with it as our kind of tongue-in-cheek on the show. But more than anything, Kaiwei Tang.
Yes.
It's Tang. He's locked in, baby.
Not only is he locked in, he's on some of my squads, which means a pure avoid for the rest of you. But actually, Fab Tang. Walk off the Giants. Walk off against the Giants. Ketel Marte walks it off. The Giants lose.
Caleb Killian couldn't do it. They brought Gage in one pitch later. Yep. Good job. Good job, boys. All right. Sorry. You were talking about Tang.
What would you make of Vitello's moves tonight to get to?
It wasn't his fault. He actually ran the bullpen properly. The bullpen just blew it. Like I told you before the show, he's actually doing it the right way. Yeah. They sucked.
Sorry, man. That's tough. Not to laugh at you, but
that's 2026. I'm used to it by now. Matt Chapman just striking out every at bat because and Bryce Eldridge doesn't play. So you want to go, we can go. But we might want to get back to some Tang.
Yeah, let's get back to some Tang. I actually picked him up, I think, for like $20, which is a little bit of an overpay. But I think he's gonna get some run. Struck out 7, I believe, in his most recent start and is somewhat stretched out at this point. Yep. And it's going to have to be because of all the injuries. And McCullers, man, McCullers, what a tease. With a 9 strikeouts in his debut, all this Fab money spent. And then I know you were against that early on, and it blew up in several folks' faces, one of mine including. But Kaiwei Tang, honestly, like I mean, we took him. I know I took him in a couple of drafting holds. We liked him late in the season last year in the Giants. Yeah, missed some bats. Like he hasn't been able to miss as many bats this season, but Also has kind of been back and forth in different roles. So Kaiwei Teng would line up against the Brewers next Friday. We'll get a start on Saturday at the Cubs, probably with the wind blowing out. But we'll get another look at Teng to see how much you want to bid on him, if you want to at all.
Yeah, if you want to at all is the key question. But he should be in the rotation for the time being. If you like Alexander, he's got Texas next week, which isn't the worst place in the world. And if McCullers is out for a while, he gets Pittsburgh the following week. So there will be some moving parts. We should hopefully have some more news on Thursday for everybody. Another great piece of news that dropped on Tuesday, and I understand the news. It's more just frustration of the way the season's going. After walking too many batters again over three innings on Tuesday, Braxton Garrett was sent back to AAA. No corresponding move yet, but it looks like Thomas White was scratched from his start, so we'll see how that goes. But Braxton Garrett made two starts through like seven innings combined, walked everybody. There were struggles, to be said lightly.
There were struggles. I did catch a couple innings of Garrett's start today. Well, two of his three innings pitched, and honestly, man, it did not look great. The command wasn't there. Fastball wasn't fooling anybody. It was a little bit of a tough go. The walk rate for Garrett in the minors was a little bit elevated, which sometimes I just kind of take with a grain of salt. But that I don't know, control still seems to be an issue, and that is one of the things that can be delayed when coming back from such a long layoff. So I don't know if Garrett is totally there. Obviously the Marlins don't think he is. Thomas White, if that is the corresponding move in AAA this year, he's 21 years old, 18 innings in AAA this year with a 20% K minus walk, 4.34 ERA, 1.45 WHIP. So surface stats haven't been there, but a little bit of a prospect, decent strikeout and walk numbers, kind of like a back end starter for me. And Garrett, like, I think hopefully he didn't spend too much. I know, Bubba, you got a couple shares. I spent in the 20s, I think, on Garrett in one league. I forget, was it a 12 or 15 teamer, but just the way he looked today, I think you gotta eat that and move on.
Yeah, it was low 30, so like I'm not overly angry about that part of it. And, you know, break the bank for Braxton Garrett. It was just more the principle, and I added him in a lot of leagues this past week. It sucked because I had him the same price as like Zebby Matthews, and I got Garrett everywhere because I had Garrett above Zebby Matthews, and Zebby looked great on Tuesday. We'll see how that lingers. I'm not going to say he's going to continue to be great, but he might still have a job, so that's part of the thing right now. But time will tell on that one.
Hey, the Mariners about to blow their game too, so don't feel too
lonely. Luis Castillo gave up two runs in the eighth for you, so yeah, he's awesome. Back, baby. All right, last bit of news here. Good God, Kyle Teal. Remember in the World Baseball Classic when he injured his hamstring and he's supposed to miss like 4 to 6 weeks and be back by maybe the end of April? Well, it's May 19th, and he got his rehab stint shut down because he tweaked his knee swinging over the weekend.
Swinging
at the play. At least it was in the game, not on deck or something. But he's been diagnosed with a sprained right LCL. He's expected to miss 3 to 6 weeks and just require rest and rehabilitation during that time before he can start ramping up again. This is a nut punch is the best way I could put it, because most of us have been holding him this long, and it becomes the age-old question again. We'll talk probably deeper on this on Thursday. Is you've held him this long, catchers are so horrible. What's six more weeks?
But I think that's so bad. That's the trap so you fall into, right?
Oh, like, I know.
I think you gotta.
Cut ties.
I think you gotta cut ties, man. It's an opportunity costing at this point. I had to wrestle with this. I have in a 12 teamer, I was stashing Teal. I was ready to. I have JTR in that league. He's doing nothing. I was ready to drop JTR, and Teal was coming back this week and good to go. But that has now changed. Kyle Teal, 82% owned in 12 teamers. I think, I don't know, man. I think you got to move on. It sucks.
It does suck. It definitely sucks. And it's just a lost season for this guy that, man, it's always at least one guy from the World Baseball Classic. You look back and go, what just happened? But yeah, I digress on that. All right. That's enough news. That's enough, you know, torture for the day. Let's talk the Bloom board that you created. And my, oh my, is this going to get some conversations going here?
Yeah, this one's rough. I don't know why I do this to myself. I really don't, because the top three names that we're going to talk about tonight on these risers, projected risers lists, yes, are just stabs to the heart. So I guess I should introduce this board. It's up for those of you following on YouTube. either live tonight or after the fact. But what we're taking here is the year-to-date ratios for pitchers, ERA and WHIP, comparing those to the rest of season projected ratios based on a combination of three of the Fangraph systems, Steamer, the Bat, and Oopsie. So kind of a wide swath of three different systems, so we don't kind of just hate on one or the other or whatever. Got the top 15 names who are projected to improve the most from their current ratios versus their rest of season projected ratios. We got 15 improvers, projected improvers, and then on the other side we've got 15 projected fallers, headlined by the cover boy of tonight's YouTube episode art, Mr. Martin Davis, Davis Martin. So this is just, I mean, this is traumatic for me to even go through this, but on my birthday of all days, like why do I do this? I guess it's for the show. It's for you, Bubba. So that's why I do this.
Well, that's awfully nice of you. Dad, Davis Martin with the third best ERA in all of baseball, Davis Martin.
Yeah.
Behind only Cam Schlitler and Nick Martinez of all people who look, they're on the board as well. Yeah, let's just get to it. Let's cut the S here. I don't have a lot to say about the top quote unquote rest of season riser in the projections and Luis Castillo, just because I think these projections are going to be quite skewed for the fact he might not be in the rotation much longer. And that's going to really get goofy with this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'll let you add the fort, because this has always been one of your boys and I've been out this season. But rough start to the year, and got the loss, or he's on pace to get the loss right now if this game holds on.
Yeah, and technically out of the rotation right now, because Luis Castillo was the, I guess, a new vocabulary for the piggyback. He was the carrier, which,
yeah,
I don't know if you saw that or not, but not sure what that means. Oh, you did not? Okay. One of them was, there's now a, one of the two in the piggyback is a carrier. So
for you Game of Thrones people, he must be the Hodor instead of the Bran.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Well, but there's about 80% of the audience that'll know, because it was one of the most watched television shows of all time. But
I am in the minority most likely. But yeah, no idea what you're talking about. I actually, if you don't mind, Bubba, I'm curious. Like, so we could deep dive Luis Castillo. We could deep the other two names here are Aaron Nola and Jack Flaherty. I was curious in just grouping those three together, like, and just kind of a general point. And honestly, like, this is a very tough year for me in terms of fantasy. It's just been terrible. Some of the reason for that is Jack Flaherty, Aaron Nola, and Luis Castillo. Like, so these are, I mean, there's a general product, like there's an archetype here, right? Like, these are aging pitchers who a projection system is probably going to like a little bit more, or maybe not. How should I say this? Like, maybe not adapt as quickly to these aging starting pitchers, where instead of, like, if you take like a 3-year average of these pitchers, it probably looks a lot better than the current trajectory that they are on. And that kind of archetype is this aging starting pitcher who's going to get you volume, but just doesn't have the stuff that they once had. And that's something kind of quickly for me that I'm realizing is somewhere where I misstepped this year. And It can work out, like Nate Eovaldi last year, and hell, Nate Eovaldi this year. You never know. Some of these old guys can turn it around. But like this Luis Castillo, Aaron Nola, Jack Flaherty type of pitcher, the projection is going to like those guys because it's taken the last 3 years or whatever these systems use. But are they actually catching up to age-related decline and just not the same pitcher anymore? I think that's kind of like a general question I think could be valuable to talk about.
That's a very, very, very valid point. I think it's actually, there's some roundabout questions, I think, in the Discord for later about how do the projections deal with some of these players for what you are referring to. And I don't know how projections are built. I know 3-year average is like the common term, as you were saying, and their usage that these do. But like, I just wanted to pull up like Nola and Flaherty's page, for instance. And it's weird because, yeah, I don't think they are keeping up to it, to your original point. I think that's fair. It's kind of like the same thing when we talk about like young players, when they get called up, projections don't know what to do with them because they don't have a 3-year average. So like, yeah. Like we always go back and forth on that conversation where like, I'm maybe more prone to give chances where you're like, I need to see it because projections and whatnot. For pitching, it's tough. Cause also with pitching, like you've talked about it a ton and you've got the, the bloom boards, the daily bloom boards that you get, you update with the different stats and like the pitch mix changes and the monthly K to walks and all those, like those are skills. We're seeing skills in front of us, like actual skills, not just, hey, this guy, like Nola's got a 4 ERA right now with a 5.91 ERA. He's projected of a 4.25 ERA the rest of the year. So in theory, that would be pitching closer to what he's got. Now, Flaherty on the flip side has got a 5.77 ERA and a 4.77 ERA. So his 4.18 projected ERA would still be way better than what he's pitching at right now. So like, it's just so many different ways to go, okay, this is right, this is wrong, and what is it? So it's skills. I think more so than just looking at like these three-year weighted averages or projections, I think with these pitchers, it's almost the skills come into play as well to kind of like, this is the talking point like we always want for bloom boards. And then you have to dig in, like, what are the actual skills of said pitcher? Like, what are they actually doing? Like you said, we could dive into all these guys. We don't need to for all of them, of course, like some of these guys we will, but these older guys, like we've talked Nola on the show for, since we've done this show, we've talked Flaherty. Yes. We've talked Flaherty for at least 3 or 4 years on this show. Like I think the listeners,
Castillo as well.
Yeah, I think the listeners, like, we don't need to dig in on these guys. We've professed our loves and disgusts, and I've angrily dropped and so on and so forth with these three pitchers. It's reality. But I think a lot of those discussion points have been, like, the skills are always pretty good, whereas this year the skills are deteriorating, which a projection system, to your original point, probably aren't picking up on.
And the other interesting thing – sorry, go ahead.
Okay. So that's where it's challenging.
I mean, it's just the other interesting thing. These guys, these types of pitchers juxtaposed against the Chase Burns, Jacob Mizorowski, Nolan McClain, though he kind of got roughed up against the Nationals today. Like the youths have been quite good. Cam Schlittler, who is on the projected faller list. I don't know if I buy that, but like, it's just interesting. These olds, and as Adam in the chat, do my ears hear Bloom's love of old stance weakening? I don't know. You don't want to overreact too much to 1 year, or just a subset of guys. And I do think pitchers, and I've always said pitchers can change more frequently than hitters can. So I'm much more kind of apt to lean on the projections for hitters than I am for pitchers, is because pitchers can change so quickly. But it's just an interesting kind of early theme this season, seeing these kind of volume older pitchers against some of these sexy younger, like, volume concerns. But a lot of these younger cats are just dominating right now. It's it's a lot of different fortunes between those two types of players.
And what, like, makes it worse for some, like, I just gave up on Flaherty. I don't even care what Flaherty does anymore. We've had these conversations even off the show. I'm done with it. He goes out there and strikes out like 10 the other day, and then he has a two-step coming up and he's back to being Flaherty. Like, there's just so many roller coasters with these things.
Yeah.
Or that goes back to my skills comment. It's just as bad as everything is this year, I want to know what they're doing for me right now, and can they help me in the time being? And that's kind of where it's at. And the projections are very interesting, because we've had these debates last year. We made beer bets on some of these, especially on, like, you know, do they improve to what? Because I think we can say some of these guys that we're going to talk about, we agree, or like, we're going to talk about Lizardo. I think we all agree much better than what we've seen so far. When we talk about Schlittler, like you said, might not be as bad as they're projecting him to be at the same time. So it was like the old, like, Woodruff was the one we talked about like a couple years back, is regress to what? What's it going to be? And that's where this kind of conversation point is made with this bloom board to me.
Yep. So absolutely. Absolutely. So, and Mr. Grouch says in the comments, easy to reflect on one's age on their birthday. Yeah. It sounds like I'm having a midlife crisis here on air, but
he's reading books to 6 and 7 year olds. And now he's complaining about 32 year old pitchers. It's just a day. It's a day.
It's been a full circle day. All right, so Castillo, Nola, Flaherty, if we go back to kind of the player level type stuff, but I just think it was interesting to talk about this stuff. They're all projected roughly the same rest of season. Four, low fours ERA, whip like mid 1.2s. If you had to roster one of these three the rest of season, who are you taking and why?
Good God. Do you want to vomit
in your mouth first? No,
I'm going to preface this. If you believe in these projections, they're almost just a quality start pitcher. Those are streamers right out the gate. Just going to throw that out there right now. These are not guys you lock in every start. So done with that one right out the gate.
Sure.
Lastly, it'd be Jack Flaherty out of the three.
Whoa. Okay.
Just because I think the strikeout skills are still there. We've seen that with Jack Flaherty. I think Nola has hit his father time peak personally, and Castillo might be out of the rotation for good. So I'm going to go with Flaherty, but yeah, I don't think I'll see any of them on my rosters for the foreseeable future.
Nola has the best skills of any of them so far this year. Again, relative.
Yeah, but when I watch Nola pitch, like at least with Flaherty, like there's signs of being like, okay, I see it for like two innings. And then, yeah, Nola is just, I don't know, it's a struggle bus for me. But yeah, again, I don't watch a lot of Phillies.
If my answer would probably be, assuming he's in the rotation, Castillo, and I just stream him at home. Type deal. Yeah. Kind of to your point about matchups.
Yeah, those three are strictly matchup-based pitchers. A lot of these guys will be matchup-based pitchers, but not all of them. Let's move on here. I really don't have a whole lot of thoughts on David Peterson. Peterson's always been a guy. He's got a 5-4. He's projected for 3.95. He's another guy you stream. He has really good starts. When his command is there, he's really good. When his command's off, it's a disaster. And that's who he's been his entire career.
Yep, that's fair. And some of these, I should have prefaced this at the beginning. I did filter out anyone who's projected to improve yet still have a projected ERA of higher than 4.50. Like Michael Lorenzen was on this list. It's like, yeah, he's projected to improve from like a 7 to a 5. I took those guys out. So 4.50 ERA was the max for inclusion on these improvers, just FYI. But yeah, I don't have much on Peterson.
All right, let's get to the first one here, because there's a handful of actually really, really important ones to discuss here. Jesus Luzardo, before tonight's start, 5.07 ERA, 1.33 whip. He improved on that over six innings and two runs on Tuesday. And those two runs weren't even his – like, he could have got out of that completely. He's projected for a 3.49 ERA and a 1.18 whip, Ryan. And I know I'm biased. I'm a Luzardo guy. I know you, I'm pretty sure, are a Luzardo guy. I'm not going to speak for you. I know Ben is a Luzardo guy, so we talk about him a lot as well. Dude, he has a 2.86 ERA. He has his best skills of his entire career right now, and the results are just gone.
Results are gone. It's, but it's. I mean, I'm all surprised to no one. Like I think the 3.50 projected ERA the rest of the way for Luzardo. I think that's fair the way he's pitching. The only thing is, like, if you do watch Luzardo starts, I think there is something to, like, a couple things don't go right for him, and it just...
Oh, it goes off the rails.
It just goes off the rails so quick. Actually, today could have been, like, much... I know it wasn't his fault that he got in some of these jams, but he actually did get out of them. But, like, a lot of the other bad Luzardo starts, it's a walk here, a walk there, a couple hits, and it's just, like, one inning of just destruction, and then he can get back on track. And maybe that's just kind of a fluky thing. I don't know if that's been an every-year thing for Luzardo or not, but, like, it... When things go bad for him, it goes bad very quickly, and it just seems to snowball. I still think he's an awesome pitcher. I might even take the under on a 3.50 ERA the rest of the season for Luzardo. The skills have been that good, but that is one concern just from kind of watching his starts.
Yeah, no, full agree. Because like when he's been really good, he's been really, really good. When he's been
like when everything goes right, and there's no rough patches, he can be elite. But then, man, a couple things don't go right, it's tough.
Yeah, but he's one of those guys you just need to start every start and don't try to get cute, because you'll miss the good ones and you might get you just take them all, and you want that end of the season stat line, and I think you'll be just fine by the end. And that's all you really care about right now.
Yep.
I'm really curious your thoughts on Logan Webb, because I've watched a lot of Logan Webb, and he does not look like Logan Webb. And apparently he's been dealing with his knee injury all season. We'll see if that's true or not soon, as he's going to have a rehab start on Friday before he returns. But Logan Webb has a 5.06 ERA and a 1.4 whip, projected for a 3.53 ERA and a 1.23 whip along the way. And the whip, you know, the last few years has been up. So that actually, he's been 1.24 and 1.23 the last 2 years. So that plays out. The ERA plays out Logan Webb style. What's been really interesting for Logan Webb, Ryan, it's the every other year strikeout rates for Webb. And his walk rate's through the roof this year. So what are you seeing when you dig into a pitcher like Logan Webb?
Yeah, and that's the thing that concerns. So if I'm, you know, kind of seeing, hearing of a potential hidden injury, I guess it's not hidden anymore, but Webb hints that he was dealing with it. It's either velocity or control, or both. And both is a red flag. Velocity for Webb has been fine. But yeah, for me, the lack of control for Logan Webb is Is an issue. Walk rate's almost league average now, where the past few years it was like 4 to 6%, and which was really good. So on top of that, you mentioned the even year, odd year strikeout rate, not missing many bats. Like, I don't know. It's hard to, like, yes, the skills are down, but on the one hand, this is still Logan Webb, who has the track record of just, I mean, he's an absolute horse. But the injury, I guess, speculation makes it just tough. Like, do you throw out everything that Logan Webb has done this year because he's been having a knee injury supposedly? If you do, does this IL stint, does that make the knee just magically go away? I don't know. That thing can linger. So you're shaking your head. So I'll let you take it from here. But I have a lot of questions about Logan Webb.
Like, I don't think Logan Webb is this bad. I guess I don't think many people think Logan Webb is this bad.
Sure.
At the same time, the heavy ground balls, the not missing bats, the defense behind him is sketchy right now. Like, it's much better than we anticipated, but it's still sketchy. It's got some of the most errors in baseball at this point in time. I don't think he's going to get to 353. I think he's probably closer to that Jack Flaherty stat line, to be totally honest. And unless that knee was a major problem. But, like, they didn't do anything to it. They just rested and rehabbed it. They didn't, like, cut into it and fix it or anything. So I don't feel great about the situation. He's going to go out there like a bulldog and just throw. He'll play through it like he has been. So he's going to give him starts every fifth day as long as they let him. They need it, the Giants being they. But I don't think Logan Webb – I don't think we're going to see that Logan Webb that finished second in the Cy Young Award last year. I don't think that guy's there. I'll buy the dip next year in drafts for sure. But, it's weird. Like, losing that swinging strike, and I think I've said it every preseason we've talked about Logan Webb, and people go, he doesn't strike guys out, and then all of a sudden he does. He just pitches different each season. He pitches – pitch mix is always different. He pitches – it's a game situation for him. And he doesn't go out there and just try to strike guys out. And I wish he did, because that would change things. But we're not there right now. So I am still concerned about Logan Webb. I still think he's the ace of the staff, but that doesn't say much when you look at the Giants staff.
Another one who's challenging my preconceived notions of who we think is a safe pitcher, right? You drafted Logan Webb for the safety for the innings, and he's the one currently on the IL and reportedly been pitching hurt. So what does that do versus your volume concerns for Mizorowski, Burns, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, it goes back, like, here's a tangent then, because, like, you mentioned, I wanted to say it earlier, but you mentioned it again. It's like the Mizorowskis, the Burns, all these guys were worried about. It's like, remember every offseason when we go, just take the guys, get the innings, then when the injury happens, deal with it? Maybe we should really stick to that, because drafting Mizorowski or Burns right now, it elevates you quite high on many of your teams at this point in time. I'm talking you, me, everybody else, not just you. But something to – one of these days.
Though, again, it is only May 19th, right?
It's basically 2 months of just dominance from these guys. It still puts you far and away above, like, if you took the Webb instead situation and a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Tyler Molly, Mike Burrows, I got nothing there. I guess if you want to hit on Mike Burrows, you can. He just feels really broken at this point. And I feel like if the Astros pitching staff was healthy, we wouldn't even be talking about Mike Burrows.
Yeah, agreed. I've had the stance the last couple of weeks that I want to hold Mike Burrows and, you know, bench if I can, because I still think there's something there. But it's been very few and far between for Mike Burrows. So if you want to move on, I get it. And agreed, I think he only has a job because Houston can't keep folks healthy.
Anything on Brandon Sproat? He could be losing his spot when Brandon Woodruff is set to throw a 3-inning sim game on Friday. If all goes well, he might not need a rehab assignment. And on paper, Sproat should be the one's job he's taking if the Brewers do the right thing, not Logan Henderson. But Sproat has looked a tad bit better in his last outing or two. So maybe there's some improvements there. I don't know if you're buying it. I'm still very concerned. And a 4.36 ERA and 1.37 whip is nothing to get too excited about.
Right. Projected to quote unquote improve to a 4.36 ERA, 1.37 whip. Like, that's nothing great. I think, I don't know, maybe this is wrong, but I feel like Brandon Sproat is just one of those kind of holdover prospect pedigree guys who actually hasn't pitched that well in the last couple years. So I don't have much on Sproat. I'm actually, these next two names, hell,
yes,
three, four, five,
this gets fun here now.
This gets good.
This is where the meat and potatoes are made on this show, folks. Start the show at around 40 minutes. You'll really enjoy things. Unless you want to see me
through my midlife crisis and reading the first grade.
Throw a pen earlier, but other than that, we're good. Yuri Perez. Yuri Perez. Let's get the party started. He's got a 5.33 ERA, 1.41 WHIP. Everyone's darling pick. I think if I had, we had a show and if we picked one person from this range that could be a top 20 guy last year, like Yuri was in the conversation type stuff. Hey, teaser, not happening. He's projected to be 4.10, 1.24. And the weird thing is, if Yuri Perez pitched to Yuri Perez standards, I think 4.10, 1.24 is way too high still. I think he's much better than that. The big part is, can he pitch to Yuri Perez standards? Because we have not seen that yet this year, Ryan. It has been, he's had 12 walks in his last three starts, so the control has been nasty. He's given up the long ball quite a bit, pitching. He's pitched about five innings every game. Like, a lot of concerning things are getting showcased with Yuri Perez. So when you look at Yuri Perez, what are your thoughts?
I mean, he's already got a fly ball tilt, which can be kind of a double-edged sword, right? You live and die by the home run ball, but a fly ball tilt means you're probably going to have a good whip if you can keep the ball in the yard. But a 15% homer to fly ball rate this year for Yuri Perez is certainly not doing that. League average, I think, is like 11, 12%. For Yuri, last year was 9.5. So home run ball has been worse. I don't think it will stay that bad for Yuri, but still gives up a ton of fly balls. You tack on the lack of control, Bubba, that you mentioned, and typically there's somebody on base when Yuri Perez gives up such home runs. So it's a problem. I'm not too worried about like the dominance. I mean, he's still missing bats. It's almost a 13% swing strike. Velocity looks good. I think the biggest thing too, though, is like, to what we were talking about with like a Mizorowski Burns, we thought Yuri Perez is one of those per inning guys with volume concerns. He's already halfway to last year's innings total, didn't even pitch in 2024 and threw 91 innings in 2023. So like, how realistically, if Yuri Perez keeps pitching like this, how many more innings is he going to throw this season?
That's the other major factor involved there. It's like, he's had all these injuries. How far do they want to let him go? You know, they want to see Thomas White at some point. You'd imagine Braxton Garrett gets another shot at some point in time this season.
No. It will be our good friend Bradley Blaylock.
Mookie Blaylock will be getting a look. I don't know who Bradley is. But, and like Alcantara is supposed to get traded. There's going to be a lot of moving parts that they're going to need to still fill five starting spots since, you know, the sheriff's out of town in Cincinnati now. So there's a lot going on there in Miami, which makes things a bit tricky. So I think they're going to try to get 140 out of Yuri. Yeah, I think that's fair. It's just, where does that get us, I guess?
Yeah, where does that get us? And even a projected rest of season for Yuri, 4.10 ERA, 1.24 WHIP, like, that's marginal.
All right, Shane Boz, who I've basically thrown into oblivion the last few episodes of Bench with Bubba, I have done with guests. Shane Boz is a 5.26 ERA. Oh, wait for it, folks. Hope you're sitting down. A 1.52 WHIP. That is beyond impressive. Like, that is, I'm not even mad. Well, I'm impressed.
Kyle Bradish's is one higher. Spoiler alert.
Don't you think I'm letting that go easy? We're getting there, buddy.
On my birthday? Come on. Give me a pass, man.
I'm putting the icing on the cake. Shane Boz is projected for a 4.47 ERA and a 1.35 WHIP. So the 4.47 ERA, again, keep memory, that's a quality start ERA. The WHIP's still atrocious. And the problem is, like, watching Boz pitch, it's like a home run every game, controls down, doesn't strike anybody out. I know this very well because I rostered him. I say rostered because I think he's dropped in all my 12s now. 15's on my bench, and he was in a drop position, just didn't get dropped in my 15 last week. I am done with Shane Boz. If you can convince the listeners to hold, knock yourself out. But I see nothing when I watch him pitch that makes me feel like he's going to be any better this year.
Agreed. For me, just the immediate stark fall off in whiffs is just perplexing. Like, I just, I don't know how you could project this to happen. From Boz to go like 11.5% whiff rate down to 8.5. Like, that is 8.5.
It went from a minor league ballpark, a freaking minor league ballpark.
Yes, and he's, you had the trash. Right. You had the move from Steinbrenner up to Camden. Like, I don't know. This is an L on both of our parts. We were both in on Shane Boz. Well,
no, I don't take the L, though, Ryan, for the fact that when you looked at the numbers in the offseason, that the numbers we had to go off of, it was a very good pitcher.
Yeah. I mean, which is kind of what I'm saying is, like, how could you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's happening. Hard. It's hard to take.
I don't know.
I take the L because he isn't performing, sure, but taking the L on the analysis we did, that's not, I don't think we could take the L on that because that's all we had to go off of. And that was actually very solid, especially for his price tag.
Yeah.
Like, that was a very good looking pitcher. That's the frustrating part I have. It's not like, okay, we drafted, you know,
Flaherty.
No, I'm talking like pick one of the top like 100 picks that just completely blew up. Like, take Logan Webb. Like, Logan Webb, for instance, that sucks. Take the L all day on that one. That's fine. But like, Shane Boz literally is not the pitcher that we saw at all last year. It's gone.
Agreed.
And what are we supposed to do about that? Like,
which is weird because, too, I mean, it's an age 26 guy. It's not like this is an aging guy where you could see it falling off. It's tough. There's like actually a couple comments here, and I don't know, in the chat. This is probably an off season type thing, but Mr. Grouch earlier said when we're talking about Logan Webb, Bailey's not around to steal strikes for Webb anymore. Michael Cicchini has a theory, smaller / ABS zone punishes lack of stuff, harder for command guys that are living on the edge. You know, I there will be time and place for that type of analysis, but that could be something at play here too, for sure.
No, it could be for sure. And when I had Dustin McComas on like a month or so ago, he was kind of hinting on certain things about ABS
could be
changing certain pitch things. And I'm just curious of it because, like, you know, I'm a nerd for this game, and I'm checking my stats every night. And there's a lot of pitchers that we used to rely on at least a K per inning. There's a lot of nights they have like 3 or 4 Ks, and it's like consistent. And I'm sitting there going, wow, this is really strange. Like, what's going on here? I'm wondering if that's like, hey, they can't, you know, chew the corners. They got to be in the zone more. So they're pitching like, again, end of the season, we can do a full scope analysis on these kind of things, but there definitely could be something involved in that. That was a word salad for you. But I don't know. It's just to see the drastic fall off from Shane Boz, I think it's more than ABS. There's something completely different going on there. Maybe it's something in Baltimore because Trevor Rogers' complete skill set's gone. His is with 2 strikes. Did you see that crap that was tweeted out there that we put in the Discord?
No, thankfully.
Oh my God.
I'm sure you'll remind me now.
Yes. Oh, because of course. Yes. I don't know.
Trevor Rogers, another Bloomfield target this year. So.
No, we were texting each other during the Vegas auction. We both got him back at the same time. We were pretty pumped on it. His skill set, obviously, was one of the best pitchers in the second half last year behind Ben Brown. Or not Ben Brown. Whatever the heck he's on the IL, whatever the heck his name is, for the Cubs.
Doesn't it down very much.
But they were showing up to 2 strikes. Still great stuff. Numbers, awesome. With 2 strikes, the hitters like WRC pluses, all these numbers are better than what Babe Ruth did. No BS. Like, the numbers are better than Babe Ruth's numbers. They're through the roof. Like Cade Horton, thank you. I'll find the tweet for you, Ryan, and send it to you later. With 2 strikes, he just can't put anybody away. So it makes me wonder if it's he can't pick on the corners or what it is, but he is a ghost of himself. But he's not on the list. I just had to vent for a second.
If you don't send that to me and I don't happen to see it, that would be okay too.
I'll wait till after your birthday. So tomorrow morning it'll be when you wake up.
Wake up
right there for you.
Sure.
Yeah.
I gotta go to the dentist tomorrow morning too. So
it'll be less painful. So you're good.
Yeah.
I'll wait till your gums are numb and I'll send it your way so you can't feel anything. Framber Valdez, 4.58 ERA, 1.4 WHIP. On the season, Framber Valdez still has a 51.4% ground ball rate, which is actually down from what we're used to with Framber Valdez, but he's projected for 3.68, 1.28. Do you think that's a possibility, Ryan? Because out of the last chunk of guys we've talked to, if I can believe in anybody, it might be Framber Valdez for a couple of reasons, but I'm not sure.
Interesting. Okay. Because I was going to say, I think Framber might be toast.
I'm okay with that too, but yeah.
I don't know if Framber can get to a 3.68 ERA the rest of the season. Maybe 1.28 WHIP. I don't know either. I just not missing any bats anymore. You mentioned the ground ball rate's down. I'm a big believer in like the big word here, the exponential gains that a ground ball rate can make, where like a 60% ground ball rate is actually so elite and so much better than even a 50%. That it really matters. Jose Soriano is an example of this. For Framber to go from a 60% ground ball, even 70 some seasons, to just a 50 is not great given the amount of contact that he pitches to and the mediocre walk rate. So like Framber Valdez right now does not have a single plus skill. That's and fair. He's 32 years old. He's obviously not the best teammate out there.
There are some things between the years that are questionable.
I struggle to see how this turns around for Framber.
That's fair. I like the ballpark. I think he is kind of a tool. Not even kind of, he is a tool. The ground ball rate is still close to 52, which is great. Not the 60 you mentioned. 9% swinging strike rate. Obviously, you'd like to see more. I guess I just hold out hope. We've seen him go through some big runs, and so at least he's still showcasing some of those skills. Where like Shane Boz's is gone, like just completely gone. There's nothing there. So, like I said, out of the group so far, this small group at the bottom, I could pick Framber. It's still very tricky because I don't think he's that good. But yeah, it's tricky. All right. Kyle Bradish, everybody. He's got a 4.21 ERA. Only Tyler Molly, no. David Peterson, Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola's got a higher whip. A 1.53 whip on the season for Kyle Bradish. And he didn't improve on that much. He had, gave up. They had 3 walks and 4 hits and 5 1/3 on Tuesday. So that didn't help at all. But he's projected to have a 3.81 ERA and a 1.27 whip. And Ryan, I know you're a Kyle Bradish truther. That's totally up to you to do. Strikeouts have been a hit and miss. I'll give him that. Walks, like zero command, it feels like, on some starts. It's just bad. And even that Rays game today, we talked about Lizardo shouldn't have given up 2 runs in his start. Bradish played with fire a few times in that game and got away with what he got away with. So that's been a kind of theme every start for Kyle Bradish.
Yeah, watch his first inning. It was strikeout, strikeout, walk, double, walk. And then I think a third strikeout. Yeah, he struck out the side, technically, so in that first inning. Kyle Bradish in a nutshell. Similar, so I guess, I don't know, this is me coping with myself. Similar to your, how could we see this coming with Shane Boz? I don't know how I could have seen this just total collapse in control coming for Kyle Bradish. It's a 12% walk rate, probably even further up after today's start. Yeah, he walked 3 in 5 innings. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with the lack of control, and I don't know if that is short-term fixable. Kyle Bradish was never like an elite walk rate guy by any means, but like he was never this bad. On top of that, like I understand the not wanting to overweight 2025 numbers, which was just 32 innings. The swinging strike was elite last year, but has kind of fallen right back to where it's been for Bradish. But for me, it's the sudden loss of control is A, perplexing, but also B, like, I don't know how he fixes this immediately, unless it's something mechanical that they can just say, hey, here it is. You tack on the injury history with Bradish, already has pitched more innings this season than he did last year or 2024 in the majors. This was not good. This is not good.
It is not good at all. And it's just weird. Him, Shane Boz, Trevor Rogers, it's just been a whole mess of what used to be on these guys, and they just haven't put it together.
And all Orioles.
That's why I packaged them together.
Gotcha.
That was it. Bubba Chandler, I think he's a control issued mess. I think he's going to go by way of AAA once Jared Jones comes back. At least he should. I don't know if you have anything on Bubba Chandler. I know we have a listener question on Bubba Chandler later.
Sure. Yeah, so we'll wait. I think things are very rough.
Okay, anything on Logan Gilbert? Do you want to go to the decliners side?
No, I think Logan Gilbert, it's mostly, and this is, again, not just me being a Mariners fan, it's a 20% strikeout minus walk. Even the whip's 115.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be fine.
He probably has the best skills on this entire outside of Lizardo. He's probably right after Lizardo. I still think Lizardo's skills are like Cy Young skills. It's just consistency with him.
Yeah. Logan Gilbert, I think, will be fine.
Yep. All right, the fallers, decliners, retractors, whatever you want to call them on this side of the board.
Deteriorators.
I knew I'd forget the main one. This is the one of deteriorate to what is what that always comes with this question. That's the tricky part on this one. But let's just get to it. I'll let you have your fun with this. I've been, just to refresh any new listeners out there, I've been team Davis Martin from like the start of the season. Actually have him on some rosters. It picked him up off the waiver wire. It's been pretty nice. 1.61 ERA. Again, that is third best ERA in all baseball for those keeping track at home. 0.98 whip. Do I believe these will continue? No. But a 4.32 ERA and a 1.32 whip, I don't think that's happened because I think there's actually skills improvements with Davis Martin. Strikeouts are inconsistent with him, but I think there are definite skills improvements with Davis Martin, and I think he will be a beyond serviceable pitcher for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I would solely attribute this rise to me making fun of Davis Martin, calling him Martin Davis the first week of the season, totally bagging the guy, and then he comes out and I still can't believe what is happening. Like this guy, man, Davis Martin, 11. So Cato walked last three seasons, 11, 11, 9. Now it's 23. Sure, why not? And everything else, like honestly, he's missing more bats. He's throwing a ton of strikes. Mm-hmm. Velocity's up a little bit. Pitch mix has changed. He now throws six different pitches, roughly 15% of the time or higher. It's a varied pitch mix. And so that, to me, if you can throw six different pitches and be this effective, that bodes well for some of this being able to stick. So, again, one of my many Bloomfield jinxes. Fully expect Walbert Urania to have a 1.61 ERA over the next 2 months. He's kind of next in this progression. But no, in all seriousness, changes have been made here for Davis Martin. He looks awesome. I think this is one where just the projection systems are not going to capture these changes and how quickly they've happened for Davis Martin, and take the easy under on 4.32 ERA, 1.32 whip.
The live blue boards page, I check like every other day, waiting for Walbert Urania to show up on there just so I can screenshot it whenever it happens. Just
sure. I'll type him in next time. He can be one of those no name.
He'll be the no name.
I still need to figure that out, but
that's awesome. Whatever. Cam Schlittler, I don't have a whole lot here either. 1.35, 0.78. Like, it won't be that great all year, but I think his skills are that good. Like, he is very, very good. Good young arm. Yeah. No, I mean, projected for 3.67, 1.24. I think he's totally fine.
I think he could be the AL Cy Young winner this year. I think he's that good. I think the question is, yeah. So, like, I think we take the under on ERA and whip at 3.67, 1.24. But I think Cam Schlittler can be a low threes ERA guy the rest of the way with, like, a 1.15 whip. And that's awesome pitching for the New York Yankees. Ton of wins.
Speaking of another guy that you poo-pooed on me all offseason when I did take him in late rounds of DCs because he's free and he's going to be in the rotation. Then he gets a rotation spot, and Bryce Elder has a 2.01 ERA and a 0.99 whip. He's projected
isn't this ridiculous, dude?
I think it's awesome. He's projected for 4.5, 1.37, which, again, projection systems are way off on this one because this is another guy showing improvements. K-race up to 22.5 and a 14.5% K to walk. Like, these aren't Davis Martin numbers, but they're improvements. Even his Sierra's 3.89, so it's not like he's completely just, you know, getting lucky out there. He's pitching very, very well, and yes, he'll regress. Not going to say he's not going to, but another guy that I think is going to go out there and be more than serviceable the rest of the way.
I think he'll regress somewhat hard compared to a Davis Martin, and they've got roughly the same surface stats this year. I would much, much rather take Davis Martin over Bryce Elder.
I just agree with that.
Okay. I mean, Elder just doesn't miss many bats. Last 2 years, ERA 6.52, 5.30, Sierra in the fours. Like, I think this is a four, low fours ERA type guy. I don't think that's changed. I just think he's been extremely lucky this year. So I will stand by that one.
I see the Elder abuse is not going to stop on this show. Nick Martinez, I've always thought this is smoke and mirrors to the max, and I still believe it's smoke and mirrors. The 1.51 ERA at second best in all of baseball behind Cam Schlittler before Davis Martin. 1.04 whip. They haven't projected for 4.39 and 1.28. I think it's beyond fair.
Agreed. I don't think Nick Martinez is that great. If you've had Nick Martinez, like, kudos, you can bank these stats. But just a couple of numbers I like to use when looking at pitcher luck. BABIP, left on base rate, and homer to fly. Those tend to kind of go towards league average. Nick Martinez running pure in all three. 255 BABIP, that's super low. 91% left on base rate. So 9 out of 10 hitters that get on base against Nick Martinez get stranded. League average is 7 out of 10. That's massive. And then a 5% homer to fly. Like, that's, people will start hitting home runs off of Nick Martinez. It's not like he can blow things away. So, yeah, I think the Nick Martinez regression is coming in hot. I would rank him below Bryce Elder.
Below, well, yeah, it's got to be below Bryce Elder. Come on, that's not even close. It's gonna be way below Bryce Elder.
He's projected better than Bryce Elder. Look at that, nuts. Man. Rest of season.
Yeah, I don't believe that he'll be worse than Bryce Elder. Micah McGreevy, I think this is, he's pitched well, but there's not a whole lot of swing and miss in this guy, and eventually regression is going to come hard when things get hot and humid in St. Louis. At least that's my two cents. He's projected for a 4.37 ERA, 1.31 whip, and I think that's more in line with what we should expect from Michael McGreevy the rest of the way. I don't know what your thoughts are on him.
No, I don't have much there. I'm on board with the rest of season. 4.37 ERA, 1.30 whip. I don't think we've seen many gains here from Michael McGreevy.
I'm going to skip that Mr. Shohei Ohtani guy because he's just awesome, regardless of what his regression is going to be. Justin Robleski, though, his teammate. This is one that we've been wavering. Ben and I even talked about him on Monday as because Ben almost dropped him on Sunday in a league, and he did not. But Robleski has a 2.49 ERA and a 1.03 whip this season. Projected for a 4.64 ERA and a 1.36 whip the rest of the way. We're talking about a guy with a 7.4% K to walk, Ryan. Like, you want to look at your BABIP indicators and all that good stuff? Yeah. He's doing his thing on that one. So I think he's definitely going to regress. I've been saying that for a couple weeks now. To what is the question? I don't know if he regresses to 4.64 because he does figure out a way to limit the hard contact. But I don't think he's going to be this good all season.
And what's your take on, like, and I'm not trolling you here, but like the Dodgers do seem to have these types, right? Like a Tony Gonsolin for a while was really good results wise. Who was the Anderson? Tyler Anderson.
Tyler Anderson was amazing. Where did that come from?
Right, exactly. And so like maybe that's just picking selective cases, could be selective memory. Is there something that the Dodgers are doing that, you know, we can't pick up on? Again, to this degree. No, right? Like, I agree. Robleski, 2.49 ERA, 1.03 whip. Sure, that's not going to happen. But, like, I think there might be something to the Dodgers just being able to get the most out of this type of pitcher. And, again, maybe that's selective memory. I don't know. But curious your thoughts on that.
They do have devil magic. That is very true, if you're curious about that. They have that manager. It looks like a little rat in there. So you can figure things out as well, but
would you rather look like a rat or be Tony Vitella?
Just for men cover boy? I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. It's a great question. That's not appropriate for the show right now. But yeah, Robleski, like I said, I think he's still gonna be just fine, but I don't think he's a 2.49, 1.03 either. I guess more like a 3.5, 3.8, something like that, which is still very, very good. He just doesn't strike guys out, which always worries me because if it's one of those where it's too much good contact, it's going to get ugly quick.
Yeah.
That's the concern.
It is like, dude, it's a 13% strikeout rate. Like that is, I could look that up. I mean, that has to be at or near the bottom of any qualified starting pitcher. Like the skills are like legit bad. So I don't know. It's just, it's tough. I don't think, but like also what do you do if you have Robleski? Like you have to keep throwing him, right?
You roll. Yeah, you roll because you're going to have chances for wins every time out there with the Dodgers. That's just the reality of the situation. So, yeah, you keep them, you roll, you see how it goes. But I'd be ready for a couple rough ones coming up here as things get going in L.A. Randy Vasquez, 2.68 ERA, 1.11 whip, projected 4.66, 1.38. He's still getting it done. It looked like he was really hitting a speed bump there for a couple starts. He's bounced back the last two. But the strikeouts aren't really much of anything anymore. Like, we were all excited with the increased velocity and the strikeouts, which obviously leads to more contact, which obviously concerns me for regression. I think he's more of a high threes guy. Yep. Like, he's kind of like a Robleski with potential for more strikeouts, I guess.
Yep. Agreed. I mean, like, I actually like him more than Robleski the rest of the way.
I do too. I would do that in heartbeat.
I mean, I think there's legitimate change. Like, the velocity is up a full mile and a half. Now, can you stay healthy over a full season while you do that? That's another question that Randy Vasquez is going to have to answer. But yeah, not as good as Randy Vasquez was in his first few starts of the season. Hit a lull, but nice to see him bounce back kind of to your point. So I agree. I think Randy Vasquez can be a fine kind of mid slash late rotation piece, high threes ERA, mid to high threes. I think that works. I think that works just fine. And you already have banked the 268, 111 that you've got from Randy Vasquez. So kudos to those of you who did that, because Randy Vasquez was legitimately one of the worst pitchers in baseball last year and has turned that around quite a bit.
Kevin Hastings with a nice nugget in the chat. Adrian Hauser is the only qualified starter with a lower K percentage than Roblesky.
Yep.
Yes, and that's why Trevor McDonald better stick in the dang rotation. I have nothing on Sagano because that's going to be just a bloodbath when things go south.
Nah, Coors, yeah. Sagano, that'll be fine.
What could go wrong? Yeah. What could go wrong? Michael Wacha's Michael Wacha. Like, I don't think he'll even get to 4.52. He every year that now see he's the opposite of like the Nolas and Flaherty's, where every year the projections project him to go backwards, and he continues to just be a serviceable machine. Like 2.83.99 WHIP isn't it, but he's a 3.8 guy with like a 1.15 WHIP almost every. That's just what he does.
That's what he does until he doesn't. But he's done it for five, 6 years in a row now. So
I'm going to keep believing in it.
Yeah, agreed.
E-Rod, this one, it's the first year I finally just don't take any E-Rod. Just said I'm done with you. He has a 2.53 ERA and a 1.26 WHIP, which is just hilarious to me. Projected for 4.62, 1.4 WHIP right now. I guess the bright side to my sanity is it's a 7.6% K to walk, which is horrible because he's walking 10% of the batters he faces. And then if you just look at like his Sierra, it's 4.72. So I think this ship is going to sink at some point in time.
Potentially very quickly. Yeah. I don't think E-Rod has turned any type of corner. I think the skills are, well, I know, I can see the skills are just as bad as they've been, if not worse than they've been in recent seasons, when E-Rod has put up back-to-back 5-plus ERAs with back-to-back 1.5-plus whips. Like, that is just, it's brutal. So I think regression's hitting hard for E-Rod.
Full agree. I'm just going to put the next three together. Chase Burns, Parker Messick, and Ranger Suarez, all having great starts of the year, all projected for anywhere from 3.68 to 3.84 ERAs with a 1.19 to 1.26 WHIP, which in reality, if that's what you get the rest of the season, you're happy as can be on your team with any pitcher right now. I think these guys are all just fine, personally, unless you feel blowups coming.
No, certainly not for Chase Burns, who just misses so many bats and has been able to hold a decent walk rate and I think should actually have more strikeouts than what we've seen. So Chase Burns will be fine. Parker Messick just looks, and like, again, to your point, Bubba, like you took Parker Messick in the reserve rounds in some drafts or like super late because we weren't sure if he was going to start in the rotation, some of us. So you just ride Parker Messick as long as you can. And Ranger Suarez is another one where just the skills are never going to look great, but always seems to outpitch his skills while he's healthy and is doing so again this season.
Yep, he's doing it yet again. So you just kind of see where it goes. For some reason, he's only pitching around 80 pitches every game, which is annoying, but
right, like why
that hopefully that changes. I don't know why that is. Even like Red Sox fans are tweeting like crazy today, like why is he getting pulled? So who knows. Last but not least, Aaron Saivaly, your boy. 2.70 ERA, 1.39 WHIP, so he's got the highest WHIP on this board with a low ERA, projected for 5.03 ERA and a 1.38 WHIP. Gonna spend the summer in Sacramento. I am waiting for this to just go completely the wrong direction.
And it will. It's 90% left on base. Again, league average is 70%. So 9 out of 10 batters, that's Saivaly, excuse me, lets on base do not score, which is not sustainable. And pitching in Sacramento this summer will not hold an 8% homer to fly. So the homers are coming. The stranded runner luck is not coming. This is the same guy. Yeah, not in a good guy. Way.
Yeah, not in a good way at all. It'll be a Saturday afternoon start in Sacramento where he gets like 4 home runs and 12 runs scored, and things get right back to reality real quick in that one.
Yep.
Final thoughts on the board, Ryan, before we talk, take some questions here. But it's very interesting. Like, half the board were kind of like, whatever, but there's a good chunk of names on both sides that make you at least have to kind of dig in on things.
Yeah, agreed. I think the question is always, like, you can say the over-under on their projection, but especially for pitchers, I think these pitchers move faster than their projection systems can catch up to. So it's always, you know, what do we think they're going to be the rest of the season and regress to what? As we and Scott Pianowski of Yahoo likes to say, and I don't know, a little bit of self-reflection from my standpoint on some of these aging starting pitchers with volume. I probably need to, it's worked in years past for me, but has not worked at all this year. So need to revisit that theory. Once we get a full season of returns here in 26.
Yes, we will see how that goes as the season plays out. We still have like 2/3 to go. So still a ways to go on this one. Yeah. All right, I got a couple questions from the YouTube here. JPAC says, can Edward Cabrera or Yuri Perez turn things around?
Yuri, we talked about earlier, just skeptical of the skills we've seen. Also, just how many more innings we get from Yuri. Cabrera, I don't know. Do you have much of a read on Cabrera? I don't have him anywhere.
I don't have him anywhere. I started him a lot in DFS because he's usually quite affordable in his good matchups. But he's just a tricky guy because you look at him, it's like a 4.06 ERA, but he's got the 4.10 Sierra, so he's pretty much in line
there.
Right
on par, yeah.
The 13% K to walk, 21% K rate, so it's not like he's a mediocre streamer is the way he's pitching right now, and I don't see a lot in his game that makes me go, yeah, he's going to figure it out, because it's like it's a 42% ground ball rate, which isn't anything special. You know, left on base, fine. BABIP's close to 300, like, he's kind of getting the results he deserves is what it feels like.
Yeah.
So I don't see the skills.
Yeah, agreed.
Now we've seen skills in the past from him that were great, but I just haven't seen the skills yet this season.
Agreed. And maybe just one you want to follow Wrigley Wins and see which direction it's blowing as folks who started Shota this week can sympathize with.
Joe G says Griffin Jacks or Bubba Chandler, 12-team deep roto. It's Griffin Jacks for me. Jacks looked great today. Went 5 innings again, 6 Ks, 1 run. Like, he's getting stretched out and looking good. I was laughing watching the game going, where was this guy when I drafted you as my RP2? Like, he looked really good. It was baffling.
Okay. I also don't know if Bubba Chandler is going to be in rotation for much longer. I did not realize Jacks pitched that well today. Nice rebound start, because it was looking a little dicey there for Griffin Jacks for a little bit. So yeah, Jacks over Bubba.
He looked good. All right. In the Discord here. Let's see. I'm going to do questions only. There's a lot of comments. Steve Brun says, who is the pitcher you guys are most confident to right the ship?
I will say Jesus Luzardo.
Yeah, that's my guy as well. Him and Logan Gilbert, I think, are the two easy ones on this list. Can we pick one that's not one of those two?
You know, Bubba, that's pushing the limits of my brain. I will say Logan Webb. I will bank on the time off, the reset, and the track record, and say Logan Webb bouncing back.
All right. I will fully support that and hope you are correct. And then the other one is most confident to continue to sink your team.
Oh. Let's see. Probably
Kyle Bradish.
Aaron Nolan, Jack Flaherty, Kyle Bradish. Yeah. Any Pick of these of the guys top. Who I have on my teams currently and still have will continue to sink my teams. Flaherty, and Bradish.
I'll say Shane Boz. Shane Boz is like, I don't see any sign of life. I think he needs to go AAA personally. It's bad. Yeah. Real bad.
Does he have options? He's got to.
I haven't checked. He's got to, though. They just don't have anybody. Kate Povich is hurt. You just go down the list. It's just a mess. Yeah. Ben Tidd, if you're able to, it'd be interesting to hear you compare their preseason projections to the rest of season ones. I don't think we have those. But he said, for example, I doubt much has changed for Luis Castillo, Flaherty, and Nola. That's probably true for most.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I don't have the numbers, but I do agree that would be an actually interesting exercise. Maybe something we could do for a future show, or if you and Ben want to do it Because we do, Fangraphs does provide the preseason projections, and we could see who has changed the most from preseason projection to rest of season. If we do that like halfway through the year, it would just be interesting to see like which projection system or systems change the most, right? Based on current year performance. That's a good idea from the main event overall winner.
From the kid.
Leader.
From the kid.
Not say winner. From the kid.
Strafface 23 says, which of those guys in green do you believe in? Which are you staying clear of? We just hit on that. Lizardo, Gilbert, stay away from anybody. Ryan rosters and Shane Boz.
Always.
Ross Hawk says, please add Reed Detmers to the projected risers list after tonight's third inning. Yeah. He pitched five good innings and one just horrific one.
Did he get torched?
And he had six runs with two outs in one inning. All with two outs. But then he was like nothing the rest of his, like, it was bad. Corbin just said, have Ryan defend Aaron Nola. And one pitcher that's outperforming that you think will continue to do it. So on the red side of things, I think we really like Schlittler and Martin for sure.
Yeah, I would say those two, and probably Parker Messick and Ranger Suarez.
Yes, agreed. Full agree. I don't know what SMMS is saying. I didn't have a Sega Saturn. Here we go. For everybody that loves this part of the show, Canton Dog. will Bubba Chandler turn it around in 2026? No. Is there a minor league stint in his future? Yes.
Because surely our loyal listeners waited an hour and 16 minutes for Bubba to say Canton Dog.
It's for the Patreon folks, because they actually do enjoy it. It's been mentioned many times in the Discord.
I know it's coming, and I still laugh at it.
That's the point. I aim to please. And then John Wilder has a couple here. Thinks sometimes pitching projections are slow to react to changes. Yes, we hit on that, good or bad. When trying to find a legit positive change a pitcher made over previous seasons, are there one or two things you look at to try and confirm it might be real, like xERA, K to walk, etc.?
So the biggest things I look at, K to walk, of course, but swing strike rate and ball percentage. Both of those are good proxies for strikeout rate and walk rate, respectively, and they're per pitch metrics, so they can stabilize quite quickly. And then I also just like to see, again, this is kind of a deeper dive that some folks like to do, some folks it just goes over heads. I'm kind of in between, but like, I think you need to look at, like, if there is a change in skill, how sustainable is it? Is there a pitch mix change? Is there an arm slot change? Is there a, you know, you can go as deep as you want. Are they changes to the actual, you know, stuff plus whatever bot stuff, all the stuff that's out there? I think that's kind of the next level. Like, if you really want to dig deep on some of these guys who have had skill changes, like a Davis Martin, is there something different with his actual approach via pitch mix, movement, release point, whatever, spin, all that fancy stuff? I typically don't go that deep just because, frankly, I don't have much time. But I think that can really tell you certain things on if a pitcher has changed, truly changed.
Yeah, and just like I know I keep mentioning the live bloom board, so they do tell stories, but like just the skills risers and fallers on the board, for swinging strike rate and ball percentage, it goes, the top guys are Randy Vasquez, Cam Schlittler, Davis Martin. Like, those are your top three. We just talked about all of them on the projections side of things. That stood out in a big way. And then you could do the last 30 days for other risers and fallers. Like Davis Martin is one of the top K to walk percentage guys on the list. David Peterson's on your fastball velocity gainers over the last 30 days. And then if you just look at the pitch mix changes, Griffin Jacks is up here. I know he wasn't on the board, but we had a question on him. He's changed his pitch mix quite. He's the fourth biggest pitch mix change over the last 30 days since he's joined the starting rotation. So like just little things like that. When we talk skills, like just check. Bryce Elder is still somehow on the last 30 days pitch mix change. Like, I just like you look at some of those. Those are skills based things to me, and that's kind of how we started the conversation at this bloom board. Is like, yeah, you could use projections, but like projections don't really take into the skills at the same time. So it like always, bloom boards open the conversation. That's the whole point of these. And then if you dig in and look at the other metrics, other skills, that goes a long ways. And that's why I kept mentioning the live bloom boards, because it's easy. It's right there. It updates every morning. And you get to see live in action, like what's been changing over the year or for the last 30 days. And you can see a lot takes place there.
I like it.
All right. One last question, Joe G. snuck in under the clock here. Not a pitching question, but if in need of a catcher, do you trade Emerson for Carter Jensen, 12-team roto? If you're in need of a catcher the way it is, I actually would.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, in I would a it's a redraft league. Yes, I would.
Yeah, yeah, I would do that. All right, we'll wrap it up there, my friend. Happy birthday once again. You're a year closer to me until I turn 43 in October, but we'll live this up for now that you're not that much younger than me anymore. But we'll be back with you guys on Thursday night to preview the Week 10 Fab, which every week we feel like there's no one else that's coming up, but we got more prospects to already talk about. We have catching just dilemmas everywhere. There'll be more pitching injuries. Like, it's just going to continually be rinse and repeat out there on the Fab landscape, and we'll get you set up for the weekend ahead. But until then, make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Entrick, and this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 348. Catch you all next time.